Good morning and welcome to the November 2020 ADM Farm Direct Fertilizer Report. This monthly conversation is intended to help you stay on top of global fertilizer prices and buy in bulk at the most opportune times. I'm your host today, Jake Nieder. And with us today, we have Jordan Berry from ADM Grain, and we also have BK Morris from CRU Publications. It's been a month or so since we've had a chance to get together, and I think it's proper to start with recapping some of the grain items and what we're seeing in the grain market, and then roll into the outlook on fertilizer. Jordan, if you have a moment, could you kind of give us an update on what you're seeing from the grain side?
Thanks for having me. I'm glad to talk about the grain side. I even look back at the last couple that we've done. This is probably one of the more optimistic, exciting ones, given the dynamics of our export markets. Whether you look at corn or beans, you look at kind of the domestic pull here and you know, just the need for both corn and beans here at the processing level here in the United States, even though we're still battling this COVID environment. So kind of do a quick recap of the report last week. If I start on the bean side, we are definitely feeling every bit of the Chinese export demand in the pull. All of you can take a look at the report and kind of see what the U.S. ending stocks are. We've battled the last few years of a trade war where the Chinese have continued to buy Brazilian beans and have basically, stayed away from the U.S. Now we've flipped that back to kind of more of a historical 3-4 year ago history of an extreme pull out of the U.S. The Chinese crusher has been extremely aggressive the last 2 months in buying every bean possible that the U.S. has been able to produce this harvest. As all of you felt, harvest was for the most part, very good, very positive. We had good planting conditions. We had good weather conditions going into the growing period. Yields in general were fair, if not, better than fair. So these are all good things, which it's been good timing to see the Chinese and just to see the world market to want to come in and continue to buy the U.S. Bean crop. So as you guys have seen and I've already stated, we've got a battle in front of us going forward of just, can we keep enough beans here in the U.S. to keep the U.S. needs? But on top of that, can you continue to sell the export business while it's there? One last thing on the bean side is, we've seen Brazil specifically run into some planting issues here early on. It felt like they were going to really struggle to get the bean crop in. If I look back 4 weeks ago today, they're still delayed, but I think the market in general has a better feel that the crop is getting in. It's going to be slightly delayed, but overall, I think the consensus is it won't be perfect, but they're going to get a crop in. And again, that's good for everybody because they'll be able to sell Chinese business. The U.S. is going to continue to still be there. The fact of the matter is we are going to be one of the tighter bean carryouts that we've had to experience for sure in the last 2 years, if not what we've had to experience, 3-4 years ago. Flipping over to the corn side, kind of a similar story. We saw the biggest change versus the last call was the export business. We've seen quite a bit of buying in the world. And if I just want to pick on the Chinese again, we've seen, China come in and buy U.S. corn for that Q1 execution of 2021. That's typically the time frame that works really well out of the U.S. And it's been a good flow for the U.S. where Q4 has been beans. Q1 will be pretty heavy corn with some beans slot in there as well. But the corn demand from a world perspective has been very good. We still have a good carryout number out of the U.S. on paper today. But we could still see that change pretty drastically given, the Safrinha crop and when Brazil goes into the ground on corn. Cause keep in mind, I just talked about the bean crop being slightly delayed. We all had a good feeling beans would get planted, but the major risk was, were the farmers in Brazil going to be able to get corn in after that? And that's really kind of what I think the market will want to focus on here, on the short term and midterm timeframe. So, all good things. We've all seen what Chicago's done. It continues to feel pretty well supported. And really, you know, not trying to move ahead too quickly. The next big discussion that is going to be on everybody's mind, and I think yours included, is, you know, what is the farmer going to plant for the next go around? We've seen a substantial rally on the bean board. We've seen a pretty good rally on the corn board. We're, you know, I think we're going to see a fight for acres of what makes the most sense to plant in the U.S. because we should have really, really good world demand on both crops. Hence why you've probably read quite a few grain wires of could beans go to 15? You know, what's the real value? You know, what should we plant? And I think that's going to probably be the biggest discussion point over the, you know, to finish 2020 and really get into early 21. So Jake, I think that kind of leads fairly well into fertilizer, but I'll be happy to answer any grain questions as we get to the end of the call.
Thanks, Jordan. I appreciate it. That's a great frame up for kind of going through what we want to talk about on fertilizer, and BK's not on with us yet. So I'm going to start into the fertilizer update as how we're seeing it and kind of give some framework for what we expect on pricing to come. What we're experiencing here has been a really nice fall. You know, if you'd asked us back in the month of October, we would have thought with the early onset of some snowfall and slowdown that maybe it would have been a very poor anhydrous run and poor potash and phosphate run. Quite the opposite has happened. A nice open window from a weather perspective. So therefore, the market's been applying a lot of fertilizer. We've seen a good run on anhydrous ammonia. We've seen basically shelves emptying on phosphates and potash, which has driven to some rather substantial front-end price increases, partly because the market is, there's just no inventory in the U.S. system or in the North American system. So that's driving towards kind of the prepping that we have to do towards the coming spring. With still a robust amount of demand facing us, we believe that we're undersupplied relative to the demand that could come at us this coming spring season, particularly around phosphates and potash. On the potash side, the producers internationally still enjoy prices into other markets at a slight premium. The U.S. has made a lot of changes to close the gap here recently with the major price increases they've had. But again, it's a lot with these producers around the monopolistic control they have and the ability to scale production relative to market demand. And right now they're enjoying these price increases versus what they'd had over a year ago with some very flat pricing and negative pricing for that fact. And that's ultimately led to the inventory decreasing throughout this season because people weren't wanting to oversupply on potash. So now we get into a situation where we're trying to refill the store shelves for the coming spring season, and the producers don't have as much on hand and in their inventory. So it's creating a situation where there's quite an amount of work that's being done on the pricing side for increases on the potash front. BK, I was told that you've joined us now, and I always like to have your world recap and your U.S. recap prior to going too much further. Do you want to kind of frame up what you're seeing in the market and maybe start off with what you're seeing on potash as well?
Certainly. Looking overseas, potash prices are firm in Brazil, which is the sort of the key indicator for U.S. import pricing. If the U.S. is a better market than Brazil, we will see more cargoes coming to the U.S. When we're under Brazil, the spot cargoes dry up, but the program cargoes usually continue, although sometimes they're also diverted until a later date. The market has been on edge in part, and this has been driven, frankly, by a lot of rumors and speculation with what is going on in Belo Horizonte with their production there. We still receive reports every now and then that strike action has been renewed or restarted and plants aren't running. We contact the companies and certain players involved, and we find out, well, no, there hasn't been any continued strike action. Part of the problem is, as you might expect, news from that part of the world tends to come through a filter. And basically what we end up having to go on are they still loading ships or are they not? So far, mostly we have seen they are being able to load their cargoes mostly on time. There have been some delayed deliveries to the U.S., but frankly, most of that has been due to the very active hurricane season we saw in the U.S. Gulf and the Caribbean in the prior couple of months. So in that regard, the supply chain from offshore looks like it's going to be steady. Do I expect an increase in cargoes coming to the U.S.? Yes, I do. While there are probably better markets for their product, with the combination of rising prices here and the fact that there's just a lot of potash overseas, demand for China and some of the other big end user markets can be staggered. There is certainly the opportunity for some more shipments to the U.S. Well, what does that mean? Well, it means if you're not relying on barges to get the product to your end user market, you're probably going to see closer to a leveling out now. What's leveling out? Well, this morning I received a claim from a supplier saying they had just sold a barge at 255 NOLA. I've gone back to them, asked for some details. It's a little bigger of a jump in one go than I would have anticipated. But my guess is they're probably going to give me enough details to convince me that it's closer to the truth than not. So we are definitely seeing some higher prices in the U.S., whether you want to go with that 255 number or whether you think it's perhaps a bit lower than that when one takes into account the various rebates and things that overseas suppliers provide. When I've talked to the various players who import the BPC product, UKT, the Israeli product, some of them have done their best, actually, to sort of sit on their product while prices were so low. If they weren't building up too much barge demurrage in order to take advantage of what they saw coming, which is the prices we're starting to see now. I will move on to urea. Urea has seen some real gains in the last couple of weeks. It's been threatened for a long time. You've seen the paper market out in front of the current urea prices. What's current? Current yesterday was 242. The increase in the U.S. and the relatively static market the last couple of weeks overseas has meant that the huge spread between U.S. returns to the Middle East that were available to Middle East producers and returns from pretty much everywhere in the world have narrowed substantially. Using the 242 number, we're arguably down to about $25 difference between the U.S. and the rest of the world. And historically, once the U.S. gets within sort of a $20 range of other markets, we tend to see more granular urea offered for the U.S. because some of the other markets that they're going to go to, yes, they might yield a few more dollars on the, you know, on a strictly FOB minus probably a delivered minus freight basis. And NOLA is an expensive port to go through. It's also a lot more efficient than a lot of the ports in Brazil, primarily is, again, the comparison I'm making here. You can see demurrage times of a week and sometimes 2 weeks and sometimes more as those terminals get backed up for companies and importers that don't have their own facilities down there. So am I expecting to see a surge in cargoes from the Middle East for the U.S.? Probably not today, because you still have to convince a U.S. buyer to take those cargoes, and if they don't have end users they can get them to right now because of the seasonal closure of the river, that sort of discourages people from locking up spot cargoes. Will that change in January? Well, if we're still down to this current spread, or it could possibly narrow further based on the returns to the Middle East, yes, I do think we could see some more urea coming here. So this bottom line is more attractive. One of the other things the higher price for urea does that we're seeing in NOLA right now is it substantially reduces the likelihood of anything from the U.S. going overseas. Again, based on that 242 that got done yesterday, you can't get to Brazil at a profit margin if you're transfer loading from a barge back into a vessel to take it over there. So the opportunities for traders to re-export, I don't believe it is there right now. There may be a player or two who has a substantial number of barges already built up that they plan on exporting, and they may go ahead and buy an expensive barge or two to fill up the cargo and, you know, reduce their per ton costs for delivery down there. So you may end up reading in our newsletter or somebody else that, yes, we've had a urea cargo load for Brazil or elsewhere in Latin America in the next 30 days. But I frankly, most of that product would have to have been bought before the next price run up. None of this makes it any more or less likely that, of course, CF could choose to load for Brazil. They obviously don't have the same economics loading from the plant as trade does from barges. But certainly the increased prices we've seen, not only at NOLA, but also in the interior markets, is going to encourage them to not export just willy-nilly. So while we still definitely need some imports to get the U.S. market ready for the spring, the likelihood that we're going to get them in a timely fashion is better today than it was 30 days ago, and certainly a lot better than it was 60 days ago. I'll move on to phosphates. The big news internationally in phosphates remains right here in the U.S. 23rd of November, the International Trade Commission and the ICA and the Department of Commerce all are sort of joined at the hip at the federal level, are scheduled to release a proposed tariff rates that would affect Russian and Moroccan phosphate products that would come to the U.S. The CRU's position on this is that our expectation is that the proposed tariffs, and again, these would not go into effect until about April of next year, will be essentially prohibitive for Moroccan production. We think that the tariff rates that will be proposed on the Russian product will be much lower and will essentially enable the Russian suppliers to come to the U.S. when the prices are higher, and not so much when prices are lower, which is hardly a shock. Again, but that's our projection. The main thing I think people need to take away from any discussion of the tariffs is that because this issue is not going to be fully settled until April, no matter which way it goes, the odds that we'll be able to see a big return of imports to the U.S. In time to rebalance the market in its entirety is very, very slim. The Russian producers, Fosagro and Eurochem, certainly have continued to sell forward to other markets. They don't have any particular interest in waiting for the U.S. to make up its mind. The Moroccans, on their side of it, well, they have so much production that if they were hit with very little tariff or no tariff, they certainly could probably start loading fairly quickly and might be able to have some impact on the spring, although even that is shaky. My point of all this is that the supply chain as it stands now is probably going to be the supply chain that affects most of the U.S. market this spring in terms of limited tight DAP and exceedingly tight MAP availability. As to the other products, UAN and ammonia, I think one of the keys here is to look what's happening in urea. We have not just traders in the Gulf, but certainly other U.S. producers. They want to see higher ammonia prices in the spring. They want to see higher UAN prices in the spring. They expect the market will support that. Certainly the latest WASD report we saw the other week helped boost the price for urea. It certainly boosted the price for phosphate and potash. Whether that's going to be enough to pull up the price of UAN significantly, frankly, is going to be more a function of what happens in the interior and whether people at your end of the world, closer to the sharp end of the stick, decide they want to commit to more UAN now for spring availability. I haven't mentioned ammonia too much. There is some upside to ammonia, certainly, but most of that probably is going to have to be for the side dress market, as at least according to the people I talk to in the interior U.S., most of them have enough to get through the fall application season. I want to put a caveat on that, and Jake that can address this, of course, far better than I can, is that a number of folks are telling me they've already moved through their prepay and they are trying to go back and pick up a few tons here and there for those who want to continue applying pre-plant ammonia. In terms of supply from overseas, see any production interruptions. We're seeing more production back online in Trinidad. There's some question as to whether one of the two plants that was down is operating at full capacity, but if it's operating at all, as is the case with ammonia plants, it's got to be running at 70 or 80% capacity. What's our expectation for ammonia prices? Frankly, the biggest support that there may be at Tampa right now is the U.S. interior market, and the two don't always walk hand in hand. So I can't tell you that we see a significant change in either direction coming at Tampa for ammonia at this time. And I've taken a lot of time, so thank you very much for yours.
BK, always a pleasure. Thank you for doing that. It gives a good flavor for the market. So let's attack a couple things here head on, which is the urea one. BK had addressed that the NOLA price had been cheap to the point where you could have re-exported U.S. urea, bought a barge, put it in a vessel, and taken it to some of these international markets. And Brazil being the closest market, it's kind of our price setter that we watch. With the recent moves in the NOLA price, so we've gone from 210, 215, 30 days ago or so, all the way now up to a 242, I think, is what I heard rumored closed yesterday for kind of November, December prices, maybe even a little bit more steam on that. If you look at spring prices, the barge indications are in the 250s. So for those of you in the Midwest, those of you up in Canada, you have to think about what is that spread that we've talked about in the past to get that to a delivered value into your marketplace to see if that's going to affect your price up or down. And I'll walk you through some of that interpretation. Either way, the first big point that I think everyone needs to take away on nitrogen, big ammonia run, inventories are low. Urea has made price moves. We're still slightly discounted to the world, so we're not getting the import tons yet. We need 3 million in between now and the end of spring, which there's a long time to do that. But we need 3 million tons of imports to balance out the S&D. That would be above and beyond the contract cargoes that come here on a ratable basis from SABIC and from other countries that have a program of supplying this market. So our opinion is that there is a further continued rally on nitrogen. It does not necessarily have to happen today. Why did we rally here over the last week and a half to 10 days? Well, there's rumors of the Indian tender. That's definitely adding fuel to the fire. But the bigger thing is most people, co-ops, farmers, whoever it is in the whole United States has not bought much nitrogen beyond ammonia to put in the cupboards for selling. And they're not going to go into a spring season being short. And so the market is right now trying to get on price and positions of inventory. And given the fact that they feel demand is strong for next year, as Jordan pointed out for the acre call, there's a big expectation that there's going to be a lot of nitrogen prepayment coming over the next few months. With that being said, our expectation is prices will be firm for the next 6 weeks. We'll see some form of a winter dip of $5 or $10 or $15, and then we'll see further price firming again as we get into our spring season. Now, that being said, it's urea. That means I'm probably only going to be 50% right anyways, but we are bullish longer term that urea prices have to go up. Generally speaking, nitrogen prices have to go up. The big sleeper in the nitrogen complex, in my opinion, has been and is still UAN. For those of you on the fence about buying UAN, you have to sit there and look at what's going on ammonia, what's going on urea, and question yourself, why are you continuing to delay your purchases of spring UAN? The UAN market is oversupplied for the U.S. CF has to balance that. They export some tons into Brazil and occasionally into Europe. And they're trying to keep the prices close to a level where you won't incent the imports. But the amount of imports that could come in between now and spring season are getting smaller and smaller, that you're not going to have a large change in pricing. Those producers will increase prices the closer we get to spring season because they realize there's not capacity or time for imports to really upset their market share. And really that's what that producer is more concerned about, is the market share to clear the UAN. So what do we expect on UAN pricing? We expect upside to build over the next 6 weeks as we go into this prepay season. We expect that to remain firm through the wintertime, and then we'll have some correction finally after spring season. So my recommendation on UAN is to be 100% covered for your spring needs. I think when you consider the downside versus the potential upside, the risk outweighs the reward of waiting. And I would get my nitrogen needs locked in for the coming spring season of 2021. On phosphates, that one, everyone's scared to death of that one because of what's going to happen on Monday. And that's the preliminary duty announcement on the countervailing duties. Regardless of what happens, inventory is low. It's very difficult to find alternative supply. Producers are sold forward more than normal. Global inventories are low. Phosphate prices are not weak. People who tell you otherwise do not know the phosphate market. They're giving bad advice, and they're doing it because they're out of position. My recommendation is that you be covered on your phosphate needs. If there is a zero duty announcement on Monday, the complex does not fall apart. It comes off $5, $10, $15 at the max. If that happens, you still have the risk of receiving it in the spring because there's not enough imports booked into the U.S., nor is there a lot of time to make that up given the amount of producer forward selling that's been done into other markets. So that's why we recommend on phosphate to be covered for your spring needs as well. Potash, no different in the recommendation, be covered for your spring needs. The producers are in the driver's seat. They're going to sell a little bit. They're going to take the market up. They're going to sell a little bit more, take the market up. They are not overburdened on inventory. They have global contracts to ship to. They have more buyers than they have inventory. So therefore, they're going to drive prices up. Definitely sound like the used car salesman. I did not put my gold chain on today. But I am recommending that you be very careful waiting further on buying your spring of 2021 needs, partly because it is a supplier's market right now. They have the opportunity to push price. They will do so. Those are our recommendations. That sums up what we're seeing in the marketplace. I will touch a little bit on AMS. It still remains a sleeper product, likely will for a period of time. The more the nitrogen run continues, the more you'll see a little bit of drift on sulfate. I could argue that on sulfate, you can wait to buy. You're not going to miss much. I would just be cautious and keep an eye on it from time to time and lock that in as you get closer to spring. I do not see downside in it, but it's hard for me to paint an upside scenario on the sulfate picture. So that concludes our Farm Direct report for November 2020. Please join us next time on December 9th. Until then, if you'd like to learn more about ADM Farm Direct Fertilizer, please go to ADM.com. And look for the fertilizer tab. We now have our online store launched there where you can get access to ADM's prices online 24/7. And you can interact with your salesperson through that online service as well as download that app on your phone. That will become our new home for our price offering. And we appreciate your business and hope you have a wonderful Thanksgiving.